All right, the phone lines are open. I did mention that I'd go back-to-back, and I'm doing just that. On the back end of this, though, plenty of time to get through. 1-800-636-8686. As I mentioned, man, don't be so passive. Don't wait on me all the time. What do you want to talk about? You know where to find me. Hit me up on the phones. Hit me up on social. Right now, we are joined by an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. A legend on the NFL Today. A friend of the program. He is co-host of Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Also co-host of Positive Spin Rate, a podcast, which we'll get into a little bit later on. My guy, Jason LaCanfora, JLC. What's going on, Jason? How are you?
What's going on, buddy? I don't know about legendary status, but I'll certainly take it.
You are that. Ask me. You are that. All right, so a lot to get to, but let me start with the breaking news, Jason, that Alex Smith has announced his retirement. When you look back on the injury and that comeback, how amazing was it, and what's it mean for him to be able to leave the game on his own terms?
Yeah, I mean, I think it defied logic and medicine at various points, yet it still happened. And it happened basically because of Alex Smith's singular belief in making it happen and his willpower and dedication to that end. But obviously he was a very limited from a physical standpoint this season with Washington, and it wasn't a great offensive line. And you know, look, they won that pathetic division, but by no means were they a juggernaut. So I get that that was part of it, but if you really watched him play, to me it looked like a potential accident waiting to happen. And he did get hurt relatively quickly, and you know, on that leg. And I was wondering if there would be a market for him. I didn't think there'd be a market for him, except for maybe as a third quarterback who's really there to hold a clipboard, to mentor. And maybe to sort of be a de facto coach. But I had a hard time thinking that teams would look at where he was right now and they would confab with their doctors and the insurance companies or whatever and say, we're gonna give this a shot. And I think Alex goes out not having to worry about that next hit being his last hit and not having to worry about, I did all this to come back, and now I'm going out on a stretcher or whatever. I think he obviously surpassed any normal set of expectations for what he'd be able to do from a physical standpoint, let alone a playing football standpoint. And ultimately, for him, it's going to be for the rest of his life much more about how I feel and what I can do physically versus, you know, my ability to ever be one of the 32 or 64 or 100 best quarterbacks on the planet.
Right. An amazing story. I think it does end extremely well, and he does go out on his own terms. So that's a great thing. Jason LaCanfora joining us. So if we shift to the NFL draft, it's been a foregone conclusion, Jason, that almost literally for as long as I could possibly remember, that Trevor Lawrence was going to be the top pick, and it's been pretty much gospel for a while that Zach Wilson is going to go second. However, based on your reporting, does everybody in the league believe and assume that the Jets will take Wilson?
Not everybody. I think the vast majority do, and even more believe that Wilson is the second pick than believe that Mac Jones is absolutely, positively, the third overall pick. But I do think it makes sense, especially at a point in time like now, a couple of weeks out or 10 days out, to just step back and kind of think about, well, why do I believe this so strongly? You know what I mean? Like, how did this get to be such a thing to the point where it's now a slam dunk, fait accompli, nothing to see here? And are we really, really sure? Because a lot of these narratives were being formed, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone, and I have heard for a really long time that Wilson was very likely to be the Jets guy at two, and I still think that's the case. But, you know, Justin Fields didn't do his final workout until just a few days ago. And at one point, people would have said Fields, just based off where they were in their careers alone, was going to be the two. I thought he would drop because of these, you know, these ideas that he can't read the field. I saw all that coming. It came. But now we're getting to go time, and you do go back to the film, and you do look at what he did against some of the best competition available. in the college ranks, and I don't think he's going to have any sort of fall. There are certainly people in the league who would tell you, without a dog in the fight, that if I was sitting there at two, I would take Fields over Wilson. Ultimately, is that what the Jets do? We'll see. If I had to do a mock right now, I would still put Wilson there. But I don't think I'd put Mac Jones at three right now. I wouldn't do it with tremendous conviction. And could there be a scenario where it goes Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, New England trading to four for Mac Jones?
Hmm.
I don't think that doesn't seem crazy to me.
No, I don't think that seems crazy or far-fetched. What I'm trying to get my head around is this. You've made the point that there are a lot of people looking to tear down Fields. Why do you think that he's getting trashed for most of this evaluation process? What's going on here?
I don't really know, Jim. You know, there are certain kids who just become polarizing figures in the scouting community, and sometimes it might be because of something they say, like with Cam Newton and him saying, I want to be an icon or whatever, and oh my God, you know, to a certain segment of mock draft nation and scouting nation, boy, that was an abomination. It's silly. See, like even this Trevor Lawrence stuff right now, you know what I mean? Like people don't like exactly what he said to SI. And now like, well, I don't know how motivated he is. I mean, he was the best, you know, sixth grade quarterback on the planet, the best seventh grade quarterback on the planet, the best eighth grade quarterback on the planet, best ninth grade quarterback on the planet. Like, is all that an accident? Like, he doesn't have enough of a chip on his shoulder? I just think that there's just so much baloney and BS that's just become more and more baked into this draft cake. I mean, a year ago, Jim, the whole thing was, man, if the Dolphins don't take Tua at five, like, he might be there at 22. No, it wasn't going to be the case. And none of these kids are perfect, and I understand them being critiqued, and that comes with the territory, but it just seems like sometimes the pendulum on certain kids swing way out of line to it's like, well, wait a minute. Am I just going to believe what I read, or am I going to watch with my own eyes and talk to people I really know and trust about this stuff and kind of try to come back to some normalcy? I don't know all the time why certain kids wear this sort of scarlet letter in the scouting community, you know, of he's the one we're throwing the most arrows at. Maybe it's to try to hope that by doing this, he somehow falls to where their team could get him. But I the slander, you know, was real. The crux of a lot of what was behind it, I think, was fake.
Jason Lockett, for joining us. Listen, I read and listen and hear everything this time of year, but much of it I just throw right out the window.
Yeah.
Like, if you're hearing it, there's a reason why you're hearing it, and it's because it serves somebody.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that it's true. I mean, you and I know this, and it's been like this for quite some time. Jason, you mentioned the Patriots, so let me ask you about that. There is that suggestion that they might trade up and draft a quarterback. In some ways, that feels very unlike the Patriots, but to your point, could you see that in fact happening?
Yeah.
And if so, who might they want?
Yeah, I mean, look, I do think they like Mac Jones a lot. I think they like a couple of these kids quite a bit. Now, obviously, four is probably, you know, two is not trading out, and three traded to get there. So four is really the highest spot possible. And I think there's a couple of kids who they would be comfortable with. And Mac Jones, they obviously have the Alabama connections through Saban. And he's not the most physically gifted kid in the world, but you know he might be a little bit more plug and play and ready before some of these other ones who probably could really benefit from a full redshirt season. I mean, especially Trey Lance, given how little he's played and the level of competition he's played against. So it's not really in their DNA. But the Steelers were not a team that traded up for picks very regularly, right? They hadn't done it since Troy Polamalu, and then they did it for Bush a couple years ago. You know, at certain points in time, you have to do what you have to do. And New England's considered a lot of quarterbacks in recent years. And, heck, they've been drafting them for a long time as well, Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo. But given where they are right now, I don't know that just waiting to see who's there will make sense for them. You know, I think at Denver at nine could be a spot to trade to. Maybe even the Lions at seven. I think Dallas at 10. There's a lot of potential moves to be made. But yeah, they're going to have, depending how high they go, they're obviously going to have to part with a lot of draft capital, but they've got a decent amount of it.
NFL draft right around the corner. Jason Locken for breaking it down for us. All right, JLC, before you go, quickly, near the end of your piece for CBSSports.com today, you had a nugget on the teams that would be interested in Aaron Rodgers in 2022. What kind of teams are we talking about, and how might that work in terms of a trade and a Rodgers contract?
Yeah, there'll be a number of teams. It's something that people around the league have been chatting about since, you know, Jordan Love was drafted a year ago, and certainly since Aaron Rodgers' comments after their playoff loss, and then even some of his more recent comments with his Jeopardy stint done. There's probably a quarter of the league right now that's either renting a quarterback or maybe renting to own, who would all look at Aaron Rodgers as a significant upgrade. You know, New Orleans, Denver, I mean, pretty much every team in the NFC North except for Green Bay. You know, even a Carolina with a David Tepper as an owner. I know they just did this Sam Darnold thing, but if he thinks he's got a 2 or 3 year window to win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, that won't stop him. There are a number of teams that would be willing to do that, and Aaron Rodgers might be able to rattle chains enough to make that happen in the next calendar year. And at some point, you know, you took that other kid for a reason also. So that situation is far from settled, Jim.
JLC on the way out the door, JLC, because you needed more work to do. I mentioned off the top that you are the co-host of Positive Spin Rate. What is that podcast all about, and how did that come to be?
Yeah, just a few friends I got to know through our mutual love of bad baseball teams. And actually, my friend Heather, who's an Orioles fan like me, had the idea of doing a podcast where we try to find the best things about the worst teams in baseball on a weekly basis, and then also have a lot of fun when teams like the Yankees, you know, stub their toes, which they've been doing a lot of lately. So, yeah, like the Mariners, the Tigers, the Orioles, the Pirates, basically the six worst teams in baseball, the Rangers. Every week we get together and have some cool guests as well. And, you know, bad ball, good times, Jim. So you know I love baseball, so it's a cool way to exercise that.
Bad ball, good times. I love it. He's an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com, co-host of Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, and now also co-host of Positive Spin Rate Podcast, JLC. Appreciate you, my brother. Great to have you back. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thanks for having me, brother. Talk to you soon.
You too. Jason Lockenfora.